my normal voice is louder than some preachers. Man. I've looked forward with anticipation these three nights. And I don't think I was just... I just want to talk to you just for a second, please, if you'll bear with me. I don't think that I've ever went behind the pulpit and just preached without having some kind of feeling behind it. And I preached hundreds of sermons. And there's times when I flopped. I felt it more times than others. I never went with the intention just to get up there and talk and just to preach to spend my time and get a paycheck and sit down. I don't think I've ever had that type of attitude, period, in my lifetime. If I did, I sure do repent of it. But I've never come to the pulpit as serious as I am tonight for this church. Now, I don't get scared. I've not come to hurt you. I've come with a word of encouragement for this church. And a word that God has given me for this church this night. I'm not sure. I've got some ideas about one more sermon. I have no idea yet about the third. But this one I know. And I know it was for this night. And I say that I'm going to give you my very best in preaching. And I would like for you to focus your attention upon the Word of God. And I want you to pray with the intent that when this altar call is given, if you need help from God, I want you to respond to this altar and crying out to God tonight. I say that is because of this. We have revival. There's times when people get saved in revival. But there's times when the church needs uplifted. And in prayer, this is what I feel. I have felt very strongly that the church needs to be uplifted. It all depends upon what you do with the sermon after it's over with. Amen. I'm not badgering, am I? I'm not trying to, you don't think I'm getting on to you. I'm trying to encourage you to get in these altars tonight and see what the Lord can do for you. Amen. I would love to see God, whether or not my message is any count or not, is immaterial to me. What means the most to me is what God does around these altars for you. Yes, amen. Amen. And I thank God for His presence. I've been praying, seeking God earnestly for this tonight. Seems like even a little more so than usual. Because I feel such an earnestness tonight to preach God's word. I appreciate everyone here tonight. Some we know, most of you we know, some we don't know. And I appreciate your pastor and his wife and this opportunity to preach. A great man of God, church. You can't ask for a better man than Brother Rushing and a better lady than Sister Rushing as a First Lady. And we appreciate them very much, very much. In our part of the country, we speak highly of him. And his wife, and so appreciate them, appreciate Brother and Sister Emery. I've known them a lot longer than I've known anybody around here. Man, and that's a long time, a long time. And now you've known them longer than than I have, so some of you are getting older too, so don't laugh. Amen. Genesis chapter 50 tonight, bear with us. I do not get nervous if you say amen or hallelujah. Amen. I can preach without it. I prefer not to. So if you can help me, I appreciate that. Amen. Genesis chapter number 50, starting at verse number 24, reading two verses of Scripture, and using this Scripture as a springboard to the rest of my message tonight. Amen. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 24, reads as thus, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Everybody say amen to the word of God tonight. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and respecting the word of God. Title of my message tonight, if God will help us, a special visitation. We need a special visitation. Hallelujah. As I said before, this is used as a springboard. I'll not tarry long upon this, but I sense that I must at least give you an awareness of what this is talking about. We understand that Joseph now in the land of Goshen, in the land of Egypt, if we'd say, the children of Israel in the land of Goshen by reason of a famine that had struck the land. Been there now for some time, the children of Israel have been. The father is now dead, and they've taken him back and buried him in the land of Canaan. Now, Joseph is getting to the area that his life is not as long as it once was. And he calls his brethren together, those of his kinfolks, and he makes this statement that God is going to someday, you're not always going to stay in the land of Goshen, but someday God's going to bring you out of the land of Goshen. Amen. I'll tell you what, folks, just to get off my message for a little bit, we're not always going to be here either. Amen. We may be in the land of Goshen right now, but there's coming a time when God's going to come and get us. And let me just add on this a little bit further here. There's not one single person in the land of Goshen is going to be left out that's meant to be in the land of Canaan. Amen. And God's got a way of taking care of us. He's got a way of just knowing just exactly who's going to go in that number. And anyway, so Joseph talks to his brother and says, God's going to visit you and bring you out of this land. Notice twice here, he says, God's going to visit you and bring you out of this land. So I'd like to preach tonight on a special visitation, a special visitation. Our hearts should cry for a special visitation from God. Amen. I said our hearts should cry. I don't expect anything fancy tonight. I just want to preach to us what God has given to me tonight. But we should cry. Our hearts should cry for a visitation from the Lord. In Psalms chapter 90, we read different places in the scripture when things got tight and when there was a time lapse before while the Spirit of God was not moving, when times of hardship came upon the children of Israel. We read, and I just picked a few of them out that appeared to me and spoke to me. The Bible, the psalmist says, return, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, how long? Have you ever wondered how long it's going to be before we see another move of God? I know, church, that we feel the presence of God from time to time, even as we did tonight. But there is something stirring in my heart tonight that we need more than just a little move of God's Spirit from time somebody sings and a little trickle of a tear running down somebody's eye when the message is given forth. We need a special visitation from God. Have you ever said, Lord, how much longer is it going to be before you come and visit me? How much longer, Lord, is it going to be before you move with your Spirit? Isaiah said this, look down from the heaven and behold from thy habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is the zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy vows and of thy mercy toward me? Are they restrained? You see what Isaiah is saying here, Lord. Where are you at, Lord? Where are you at? I don't feel you. Are your bowels towards your people restrained? Are you quit moving for your people? Jeremiah takes up his lamentation and says, my eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Folks, that's doing some crying, if you will. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, my eye affected my heart because of the daughters of all the daughters of my city. I like to stop here and preach a little bit. Did you notice the phrase there? My eye affected my heart. Friend, sometimes times the church gets themselves in such a state of apathy. Now listen, I know what I'm preaching tonight. We can get ourselves in a state of apathy where it seems like nothing is moving and nothing is touching us. You know what happens when we get our minds off of God? We get our eyes on everybody else. Amen. When nobody else is raising their hand, I won't raise my hand. When nobody else is praising God, I won't praise God. When nobody else is seeking God at the altar, I will hold back. Do you see, friend, how your eye affects your heart, what you see around you? Friend, it's time that we get our eyes over one another. We need a visitation from the Lord. Hey, I'm a feeling the Holy Ghost here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Without a visitation, people become cold in their hearts. Amen. You let a little time. Y'all still with me, aren't you? I'm just getting started. Amen. You let a little time last without a move of God. Amen. Somebody will go to the preacher and say, man, why aren't we having services like we used to? Boy, it seemed like something the matter, preacher. What they're saying is, what's wrong with you, preacher? Yeah. I tell you, without a visitation, people become cold. Harold Barker wrote of a graveyard in Ashire, Scotland, where once a stranger was buried. This greatly distressed the folks in that parish. So much so that they had a notice put up to the effect, and this is what it said. This graveyard is exclusively reserved for the dead who are living in this parish. Amen. The devil had a great anniversary at which his emissaries were convened to resort and to report their several missions. I'm being hypothetical here. You know this is not necessarily true. I let loose the wild beasts of the desert, said one, on a caravan of Christians, and their bones are now bleaching on the sands. What of that? Said the devil. Their souls were all saved. For 10 years I tried to get a single Christian to sleep, said a third, and I succeeded and left him so. Then the devil shouted, and the night stars of hell sang out for joy. Amen, folks. When we don't have a visitation from the Lord, people get cold. I read of a vessel that was discovered over a century ago, an iceberg. It was found among the icebergs of the Arctic Ocean. And when they examined it, they found the captain frozen, and the crew were discovered in their hammocks and in their cabin, and they were all frozen to death. He made his last entry in the logbook over a century ago. The last date in the logbook showed for that 13 years that vessel had been moving among the icebergs, drifting sepulcher manned by a frozen crew. And are they not churches just like that church? Are they not people just like that? Amen. Come on and help me preach here just a little bit longer, if you will. I'm afraid that sometimes we tack Pentecost upon our churches, and the Baptists are running off and leaving us because there is a move of God, and the people that are hungry will reach out and touch God. Amen. You say it, Brother Fouts. I'm Pentecost through and through. I'm glad you are. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the evidence of speaking in tongues. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But friend, more than that, if we do not have a move of God, then we're no better than the world out there. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. When people get cold, I'm doing this in order of how I feel it. When people get cold, they do other things to fill their joy. When you don't have a visitation, people get cold. When people get cold, they start looking for other things to fill their joy. Why do we need a visitation from the Lord? Because if we don't, bad things are going to start happening to the church. Amen. Long ago, William Law warned that the world is now the greatest enemy to the Christian than it was in apostolic times. It is a greater enemy because it has greater power over the Christians by its favors, riches, honors, rewards, and protection than it had by the fire and fury of its persecutors. It is more dangerous enemy by having lost its appearance of enmity. Its outward profession of Christianity makes it no longer considered as an enemy. And therefore, people are easily persuaded to resign themselves up to be governed and directed by it. By prayer and by meditation, I begin to dwell upon that thought. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, begin to deal, and I begin to write some things down. And this is what I wrote. And this is what I write to the church, not only this church, but every church around. This is what I wrote. I'm going to read it. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to read it just exactly the way the Holy Ghost gave it to me. It says this: I find that the colder people become, the more apathetic they will be. Couples takes multiple vacation just to save a marriage. They replace spiritual necessity with carnal substitution. They replace needed communication with themselves, with amusement between themselves. They see the answers to their problems outside of the church instead at an altar. We offer our children more today than ever before, and yet there are more broken homes, abused children, more orphans, more abortions than ever before. The presence of mom and dad are often replaced with gifts and amusement so they don't have to give their time to their own children. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, our society has become so self-centered that its only concern is what I can get out of life. The church used to be the center of the neighborhood nucleus. In other words, Christian people center their lives with their involvement in the church. I'm afraid that it's no longer that way. Instead of the church being the focus of people, it has become the byproduct. Instead of it being the center of the family, it has become something we tagged on to our other priorities. People say it's too hard to go to church, and yet they will get up at 4:30 in the morning and travel hours to their favorite fishing hole and to their favorite hunting place or Black Friday shopping center. Amen. Some Christians don't think twice of being an hour late on Sunday, but wouldn't dare do it to be late on work on Monday. Come on now. Don't we think God sees that? As a result of this traditional change in our society, we have more divorces, a higher rate of couples living together, more teenage suicides, more teenage killings, more rapes, more adultery, more fantasizing over illicit, immoral things. Traditional families have been replaced with stepmoms and dads. Teenage drinking, date rapes, and drugs are at an all-time high. Devil worship and the occult are more popular than Christian worship. What is the solution? The solution is this: church, if we do not have a visitation from God, if we do not have a move of God, if we do not turn back to God, we'll find ourselves slowly but surely slipping into these things. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching here. You said, Brother Fouts, I don't need a visitation to get by. Listen, you don't have a choice. You will be visited one way or another. Amen. Brother Jack, you might cancel their next two services out. I hope it gets better. You will have a visitation. Isaiah said, what will ye do in the day of visitation? Huh? And the desolation which shall come from afar, to whom will ye flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Psalmist takes it up and says, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Jeremiah picks it up again, and thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Friend, you've only got two choices: to have a special visitation with God's divine presence to touch you, or a special visitation of God's wrath. There's only two choices in that. Amen. The Lord will visit. It said, Brother Fouts, what shall we do? This is what we do. The Lord will not visit us until we turn ourselves towards Him. Amen. Y'all with me tonight? Wave a hand out there. I want to make sure you still... Yeah, you're all hearing me, aren't you? Amen. When we turn towards Him, Hosea says this, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He has smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us, and in the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight." I like this next one here. Jeremiah takes it up and says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God into heavens." Amen. I like this. You hear what Jeremiah said a while ago? A few verses before that, he said, "My eye affected my heart." Then he turns right around and said, "I will take my heart and I'll lift it up towards God." You know what some of you need to do tonight? You need to take your heart and lift it up towards God and say, "God, here it is. Touch me again and afresh and anew." Jeremiah says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. I give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me." Are you getting excited about this? "When ye shall search me with your whole heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." I've got to hurry on. I'll skip some of these verses. This is one of my favorite. "If my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I will..."